Randy House is there, so that's right.
Okay, good question. Question roll. Nick Poser, resident, Tony Constantia. Tom Reinker, Central Square resident.
So, as Paul said before, I'm Austin Goodlock. I'm the executive director of operations of Oswego County, as well as the CEO of the Oswego County Industrial Development Agency. And also want to add, I'm a resident of the Village of Cleveland. So, right on board now, across the world. So, happy to be here. This is important to me on a personal level.
I am Dave Turner, director of strategic initiatives for the County of Oswego. And I'd like to say I'm happy to be back in your neighborhood. A lot of my Hispanic youth was at Panther Lake. So
that's good.
Austin and I have been meeting with various communities to try to get a feel for where they are, what they're thinking about, how they are feeling, whether hearing from the residents about this Micron investment in Central New York. We are learning more and more every day about its impact, both the good and the bad. For example, it seems that they grossly underestimated their need for water and electricity. So a couple things that we'll be heavily involved in trying to resolve that. Hopefully doing it in a way that will be beneficial to Oswego County as opposed to the negative impacts that some people are fearing. There's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of communities that are going to see growth, might not be ready for growth, and maybe don't want growth. So part of what Austin and I have been doing is try to assess where all of that is and how everybody feels, and then at the end, see if there isn't a way that we can't work together to help solve those problems.
Yeah, and as Dave said, they underestimated their utility needs. I mean, what's 20 million gallons a day? And that's, that's just, we all make mistakes like that, I'll have a thing in here, but their power use is going to be as much, that full build out is going to be equal to the entire states of New Hampshire, Vermont combined. That's just massive, unprecedented. Their water use is going to be more than the entire city of Syracuse by 8 million gallons.
Will that deter them from coming in? Or
I don't think so. I think it's just going to put more pressure on the states and the counties and everybody to make it happen. So I don't think that they did it on purpose. I think that, from what we've learned from Micron over time is that while they're a massive company, they kind of run like a family-owned company. They don't always have all their... Everybody's not always communicating, but I did put some slides together. I don't know how much everyone here knows about Micron, and I want to thank Center State provided some of the information on this, as well as our counterparts in Onondaga County. So going back to last year, it's funny, I've been here at Operations Oswego County for 17 years, and it was public that I was going to become the executive director on October 3rd. On October 4th, this is the day that Micron announced. So I don't think I had anything to do with it, but it definitely changed the plan going forward of what a lot of our priorities and strategies were going to be for Oswego County for economic development. So who's Micron? Micron is an American-owned semiconductor manufacturer, which is unique in that most semiconductor manufacturers are not American-owned. Their company is out of Taiwan, China, They're global companies. These guys are a global company as well. They're the fourth largest semiconductor manufacturer in the world. They have over 45,000 employees. Their revenues last year were over $30 billion a year. And these are numbers that, it's just not stuff that we typically deal with. They have operations all over the world. You can see their locations here. But as I said before, they kind of run like a family-owned company a little bit. They actually got their start in 1978 in the basement of a dentist's office. So, all businesses have to start somewhere, and they start small. That's kind of their start. So, talk about this a little bit. Fiscal year 21, they were $27.7 billion. Last year, they were over $30 billion. They say they see huge growth in the semiconductor industry, especially they do what's called memory. They're not like an Intel where they're building computer chips, they're building memory chips. So it's RAM, DRAM, things like that. These are And these are things that are in everything from computers to cell phones to smart TVs to smart watches, smart refrigerators. So the market for this is growing exponentially, and that's why they see the need for this type of project. So some of this information is just sort of mind-boggling if you kind of look at the impact of Micron's investment. So this is information put together by REMI. This isn't just from them themselves. So they're going to have 9,000 direct jobs at full build out. That's also going to have another 40,000 plus jobs in the market that they're going to support. 70% of those are going to be in Central New York. So I would say somewhere over 30,000 plus of those jobs, maybe 33,000 jobs outside of Micron will be here. And that's going to be semiconductor supply chain. That's going to be just more stuff, hotels, more convenience stores, more just everything, because you're going to see a large population growth in Central New York, which you've not seen in decades. So the other big thing that this is going to do, and this is actually going to happen before we see the jobs from Micron, you're going to see the construction workers. They're saying that over the next 20 years, there's going to be an average of 12,000 annual temporary jobs created by this. So that's going to be construction workers. It's going to be other kinds of contractors, other people on site from this. So there's opportunities not just for growth in the semiconductor industry, but hotels, extended stays, all sorts of other projects, because where are we going to house these people? Where are you going to put these people in the community when you have a housing issue as it is? So in the Central New York region, there's going to be almost $10 billion annual of GDP impact over the first 30 years of this project. Jumping around a little bit here, $31 billion in Micron construction spending, and then that's where 5,600 of those jobs are going to be construction workers on site, and that's going to be within the next 2 years. They are going to, I'll get into a slide here, they intend to have their environmental impact study done in, I believe, October of 2014, and they're going to be looking to start construction. 2014. Yeah, we're going backwards in time. No, in 2024. I don't have a slide up in front of me, so I'll get to that here in a second. But so in context, they're going to be building 4 600,000 square foot clean rooms. That's the equivalent of 40 football fields of clean rooms. It's going to be the largest clean room in U.S. history. As of now, I don't foresee anybody going over this in the near future. It's going to be the largest investment in history of New York State and one of the largest investments in the history of the United States. Just to kind of look at it in context, before this, the largest investment in recent years in Central New York was the Amazon fulfillment facility. This is going to be 250 times the size of investment. So right now, there's about 390,000 people within our 5-county labor shed. The jobs just created by Micron alone, 9,000, is going to be almost 3% increase in employment for one employer. And here's another one that this is something that's interesting, and we're curious of what's going to happen with this and how this is going to impact our local already existing employers, is that the average wage in Central New York is about $58,000 as of the first quarter of 2022. Micron's average starting salary is over $100,000, $109,000. So what does that do to your existing employers when you have someone come into the community that's offering double, offering free healthcare and all these other things, or not healthcare, but free childcare? Yeah. And here's those 2 points I said before. So Micron's water use is going to be 48 million gallons per day at full build out. That's 8 million gallons more than the entire city of Syracuse. Micron's power use will be over 950 megawatts in full build out, which is more than the entire states of Vermont and New Hampshire. So here's another thing that's interesting, is that as part of this, and this is something for your communities to be aware of, and maybe not-for-profits and other groups that you belong to, is that Micron's going to be investing $250 million into a community engagement fund that's going to be used within Central New York. To invest in things like childcare, affordable housing, workforce development programs, child programs. And it's going to be matched by another $250 million from New York State, as well as other benefactors. this is going to be the largest single corporate community invested fund of its kind in our nation's history. Nothing like this has happened before, which I think a lot of is why a lot of people are a little dubious or skeptical about it, because nothing like this has ever happened before. But I can tell you right now, this is happening. It's going forward. So Micron's timeline, this is taken directly from Micron. Some of these, they have some ranges in here, but and I can get into a little bit of how this has become a little bit more defined over time, is that they expect to start construction in 2024. We've gotten additional information that between June and October is their period that they intend for their environmental impact statement to be done. They're actually starting to clear the site later this year. They're going to be, I believe it's 2026 that they plan that facility is going to be completely constructed, and then they're going to be putting equipment in, and it should be ready between late 2026 and early 2027. They'll be having jobs on site in 2027. The way they're building this is they're building two fabs at a time. So they're going to be starting with the first two 600,000 square foot clean rooms, and if the market is there when they're done with that year, probably about 2030, they would be starting on the next set. A lot of that is market driven though. This is from a couple of weeks ago. Actually, I was at the environmental review open house at Cicero North Syracuse High School. So it's why it's looking like this. I had to take a picture of it from a side presentation. But this shows that, you know, June to October 2024 is when they're going to have their final permit reviews for the environmental impact statement. And then after that, it's full speed ahead of construction. So what does this mean for Oswego County? Oswego County is in a unique position to capitalize on unprecedented growth and investment in the Central New York region. The county border, you can see the yellow star on there, that is the Micron site. So if you were to go straight north along 11 and 81, you're in Oswego County. You're in the town of Hastings. You're in the zone of you're going to see a lot of growth if you want it or not. So you better plan well for it. And then you're going to see growth in that first ring there is 5 miles, and you got 10 miles and 15 miles. Village of Cleveland's less than 15 miles from the site. The town of Constantia is less than 10 miles. I would say that West Monroe is between five and 8 miles away. I mean, if there is going to be opportunities for growth in all of these communities if you want it, and if you make the right investments and the right decisions to get that. So to get this, the growth that we need to promote our strengths, which is abundant water, abundant power, we have land, and we have a skilled workforce. But we also have to address our weaknesses, which is limited public infrastructure and available housing. These are things that can slow us down or stop us from getting the kind of development that we could see. So how do we need to work on these and soon. So this all leads to something that Dave and I are both a part of, which is the Oswego County Micron Steering Committee. This is a group of, it changes, but it's about 25 steering committee members from different areas of the county and different, that are representing different sectors, education, workforce, economic development, planning, government, and we're really helping to develop a plan for Oswego County to be ready for this. Onondaga County was working on this for about 18 months before the announcement. So they have quite a bit of a head start. And they know exactly what they're getting. We're trying to play catch up in terms of what's happening, what's coming, and how do we make sure Oswego County is in the right place to be able to benefit from this. So we're currently working on this plan. Is going to be coming together later this fall, I believe in September, October, it's going to be released. And so the steering committee is made up of 25, but then there's a lot more people that are involved in different work groups. And these are sort of the different subgroups. There's economic development work group. There's a public and private infrastructure work group. There's workforce development, healthcare, education, housing, childcare, transportation, logistics, and hotel, restaurant, and tourism. So we're kind of looking at all the different areas and how these things are going to be impacted, what we need to do to catch up, what we need to do to be prepared for what's coming from Micron and all the other growth that's going to be happening from that project. So a couple things I wanted to talk about because Dave and I are, you know, I'm chair of the economic development group. Dave's chair of the infrastructure group. We have other representatives that we work closely with for workforce development. Is that really some of the opportunities I see that we see for economic development is industrial and strategic site development to attract the semiconductor supply chain. And these are going to be in areas we have already identified some sites that make sense. There's an industrial park in Phoenix right off of 481. The IDA and operations Duval County owned property there that we are expanding. We're about more than doubling the size of that park from about 150 acres to 320. The Riverview Industrial Complex, which is the is a fancy way of calling the old former Miller Brewery just outside of Fulton. 800,000 square foot of warehouse space there, plus a vacant ethanol plant that one or the other can be redeveloped into a, it has really heavy infrastructure there, and these sites could be redeveloped. The warehouse for sure, the 800,000 square foot warehouse, we're already working with the owner of that to try to bring companies. That's going to be redeveloped and ready before the Micron sites, right? So it's a really good opportunity for us to try to attract semiconductor supply chain companies. And then we're also looking at opportunities and saying, listen, town of Hastings, Route 11 corridor and 81 is less than 5 miles from the Micron site. There's a lot of land. If you go from the county border all the way up to 49 in Village Central Square, just say there's a lot of opportunities for development. And is there an opportunity to put together, assemble some properties to look at having a site in that area? So that is another thing that we're looking at right now. Other things that we see as opportunities is what Dave and I are doing tonight, working together with communities that want additional industrial, commercial, residential development, identifying who wants development, who doesn't want it. There's some communities that want it, and there's some communities that don't. Some communities that say, hey, we're good with how we are. We don't want change. If we want something, we'll let you know. But then there's other communities we've talked to that are saying, as long as it's within here and here, bring it on. We are ready for it. And so really what we want to do is identify which communities want growth, which communities are willing to do what they need to get it, because it's not going to just come. It's going to require investment. It's going to require planning on your part to update comprehensive plans, zonings, and other things like that, and infrastructure and other investments to attract development. And then the other thing that we are working on is, and this is a huge opportunity. We're talking about attracting a semiconductor industry from outside of our area here, but there's a lot of opportunity to work with our existing companies here that want to do business with Micron. That could be anything from manufacturers that want to manufacture components to companies that are in the construction industry and they want to do business and they want to be a sub or a general contractor for Micron, or even people who want to start businesses in landscaping and other things that just see if this is an opportunity to grow their business or get it off the ground. So that's a huge opportunity, is just working with businesses that are already here. And we're doing that right now. Dave, do you want to talk at all about the infrastructure stuff? I got some bullets up there, but you probably can say it better than that.
Yeah, sure. So for some time, maybe what, 2 years now, Austin, we've talked with various folks about potential of whether or not the county should explore countywide development authority, like DANC, or even Onondaga County, while they don't have an overreaching authority. They have Aqua, they have their wastewater services. We're trying to determine whether it makes sense to have like a Oswego County Public Infrastructure Authority. Definitely there has to be investment for growth. A lot of small communities that don't have any can't afford it. Most what you have is some public water by Aqua. And they're going to be pretty stressed out because they can't deliver everything that Micron needs with the infrastructure that they have. They do own a right of way to build a second water tunnel from Lake Ontario, but that's a 10-year project at a minimum. Should we be in the water business and trying to get water to the Micron site? Should we be working with communities to try to build out wastewater so that they can develop new housing or industrial sites within their communities? Do we want to, what form should that take if we do that? So we've engaged an engineering firm to work with us to do an analysis. Some of you I've met with, Vern has met with us a couple times on the infrastructure committee. We're taking a look at what exists currently in Oswego County. Who owns water treatment? Who owns water delivery? You know, we have some mapping through the real property tax system, but quite frankly, when new water or sewer districts go in, they don't always get reported to the county, and so they don't show up on the real property map as having public infrastructure there.
You mean to tell me you look somebody put a water line in, they don't inform you people in the county?
Doesn't always happen. No, in fact, yeah.
Is there a for instance on that? Is there a town that stands out to you that somebody didn't tell you they had a water line?
So it all depends on where it goes, right? So there's certain things that are required to be reported, like to the health department, right?
Yeah.
So the health department would know, but they don't know the exact parameter, right? So it's going to go down this road. It stops a half a mile down the road, right? And they look at the bigger picture, right? And they don't have like addresses that they report to real property. For example, if a water line is going to be built that goes through an agricultural district, they're supposed to report that to the Farmland Protection Board. The Farmland Protection Board takes a look at it, and quite typically they'll ask the community, when you're done, please provide a digital copy of the as-built to the County Planning Department and the County Department of Real Property. Almost never happens. Truth is that a lot of engineering firms are concerned about their work, and the more available those documents are, the more competitive other people could be on the next water district, right? So I don't know all the reasons why they don't always tell us, but you know, we always ask and we don't always get. So no one community like jumps out in my mind right now. Just kind of as a regular practice, it seems like we're last and
I understand.
Quickly forgotten before it's over. One interesting thing in the state authorizing legislation for Aqua's creation, it says that 25% of the water that's withdrawn from Lake Ontario needs to be delivered to communities in Oswego County. There's no way they can continue to do that and serve the needs of Micron. So that's a path that we're looking at. You know, how do we either compete with or partner with Aqua to develop more water and bring it to communities that don't have it, at the same time try to create greater capacity to get Micron's needs. Remember, their full build out is a 20-year project, so there's time to get to the point where they need all that water. You know, there's probably enough right now capacity to do what they'll need for phase one.
To take care of the two clean rooms?
Yeah, both on the power side and on the water side. But there's going to be a need for infrastructure growth for them to get to phase two. So, you know, that's it. We got 5 to 10 years to be working on those things.
Can they use rainwater off the roof?
So their plan is to recycle eventually almost 100% of what they use. And
I was just I'm thinking that
probably that they'll be able to do that if they're going to have this intense recycling process.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still, you know, evaporation and a lot of other things that are going to happen. So
it'll be a supplement. It would be.
Yeah.
Well, one other thing about it too is when you're making semiconductor chips, you have to have extremely, extremely clean water. I mean, it has to be absolutely perfectly clean because it's removing chemicals and things at a very fast pace to be able to make these things at a very consistent quality. And when you, you know, if you lower water quality, it's going to lower chip quality. And then they're going to have a lot of stuff that they can't use. And the only way a facility this size is profitable is if it's very reliable and consistent. So I have seen where they said that they want to be able to recycle as much water as possible, but they still, their environmental impact is still saying it's going to use 48 million gallons a day at full build out. So
that doesn't count all those other supply chain businesses that might need water.
Houses and everything else.
You're
talking about
employees, new housing, new schools.
If you're saying 50,000 new jobs in the central New York area, or at least 40 plus thousand new jobs, you know, add families to that, you're talking somewhere between minimum of 100 to potentially 200,000 more people in the central New York region over the next 20 years. You know, our infrastructure systems were not built for that. Our schools weren't built for that. And I mean, we've been in a mode of consolidation and other things for a while. We're going to have to actually look at school growth. And you know, it's probably not going to happen everywhere, but the areas closest to it and then the best school districts are going to see those kind of stresses happen.
A lot of town roads that, you know, might have to be upgraded to the next level of service, maybe widened, bigger shoulders. You know, there's a lot of things in a lot of it we don't know until some of that growth starts to happen. And so the more we can think ahead about what's best for us in each of our communities and where would we like to see that, where if we were going to plan for a housing development in part of our town, where's the best place for that to be? Where is there infrastructure? How can we get infrastructure there easily and cost effectively, as opposed to, you know, choosing the farthest away spot where it's most expensive? So, you know, a lot of that's up to you folks to decide, and the quicker you can do it, the better. Because if you don't, if any of you that were at the Tailwater meeting when the folks from MRB coined the term plan or be planned, if you don't make the decisions for yourself, someone else is going to make them, and you may not like those, right?
Yeah. Is there a plan in comparison, or what's the next step down? What's the next smaller, if this is the biggest plant? What was the biggest plant before this one took its place?
So there's multiple plants under construction right now in Arizona, Ohio. Right now, so the closest thing up and running right now would be the Micron has a plant in Manassas, Virginia, and even that is, you know, we're talking a tenth of the size. I mean, it's not the size of this facility. It's we're talking much smaller. Okay, we're talking full building. Up to, we're not talking, you know, what they're building in the first phase.
Yeah,
but you know, really, you want to try to compare, look at semiconductor investments that are being made now. Intel, TSMC, these companies are looking at, and a lot of it's related to the CHIPS Act. That there's a lot of $50 plus million out there that's being, you know, put out there to reshore semiconductor industry. So you're seeing a lot of investment in a short amount of time. It's I'm curious to see how that's going to impact the workforce, which that's my next slide a little bit is about that, because that's going to be a huge component. They're only going to be able to grow as fast as we can provide a workforce for them. That's a huge bottleneck. So, but yeah,
I was wondering if that area had what they went through or something, you know what I mean?
Like asking the same personal questions we are.
Yeah. Right. Okay. We're trying to find those answers as well. We did have a study done by a nationwide planning group that got us kind of a summary of a lot of that activity. But as Austin said, a lot of it is happening right now. We do have a couple of meetings scheduled with the city and county people in Manassas, Virginia, to talk about what impact they've seen and what kind of deals were made there, and how is Micron following through on their promises and things like that. Those are scheduled for the next couple of weeks. Originally, we were going to visit that plant what week from tomorrow, and that got postponed, but we changed the government meetings to remote, so we can do a WebEx or a Zoom meeting or whatever people that we were going to meet with in person now will just meet with online, and we'll still get the same answers, but it was a pretty comprehensive visit that we had planned, and we're working now on rescheduling it so we can actually go to the Micron plant and meet with those folks and get a better idea about what to expect with respect to the actual building and the employment, the structure, and the workday.
I mean, I think that area had to have a Constantia, a West Monroe, where, you know, everybody that was in the South Square, all of us in the same boat, that said, you know, what'd you do and what'd you go through?
Yeah. One thing I can add to that as well is, as Dave mentioned earlier, the MRV group was the group that did a presentation at the meeting, I believe it was in March, that talked about these types of impacts, and they have actual hands-on experience in other parts of the state with high-tech expansions. Well, it happens that the MRV group is the group that the North Shore Council of Governments, us, retained to do an economic development study here. So they may be able to bring some of their expertise from other places in New York State, be able to compare that to what North Shore looks like, what we might be able to expect. And Tracy Verrier, who's the consultant on that, is in on the Zoom session, so she's hearing all this. Perhaps when we bring her on, she can talk a little bit about that.
Yes. If you look at the impact that the General Electric Corporation had on the area back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, the neighborhood I grew up in Liverpool, essentially every other house was a G family. So you look at that dynamic, this is twice with that, because they were at their max around 21,000 employees at Electronics Park, but then they had satellite facilities. So there was a lot of impact on infrastructure and a lot of growth in housing and things that sprung out of that entire development. So if you kind of do a back look, it would be a similar thing with the Village of Liverpool and Central Square and Brewerton and some of those other areas really that are going to be right in that zone.
I think one main difference, you're absolutely right. One main difference between then and now is that people tended to, and often employers actually participated in housing development and things like that. They wanted their employees close to them. If you look at older industrial cities, you know, you'll see the neighborhoods where the entry-level workers live. The houses are much different than the neighborhoods where the management people live, but they were all relatively close to the factories. Today, at jobs that pay a decent wage, it's no big deal for people to drive 30, 40, 50 minutes to get to work. So you have as much opportunity for housing growth, at least, as anybody else. And quite frankly, we're well positioned because lots of Onondaga County is so built out already, they don't have those natural areas where they can put up higher end housing with like 5-acre lots or 10-acre lots. Or, you know, the people, Austin said the average working starting wage is $100,000. So there's some below that, some far below that, and some far above that. If you have beautiful vistas, you have waterfront, things like that, people are going to invest in nicer homes. And there's developers who are already recognizing that and searching out those places. But in order for them to do that, they're not going to choose places where the septic is, the perk is bad, right? They're not going to put a $600,000 house on a questionable lot, right? They're going to look for places that have public water, public sewer. So planning for those is important, because those are big ticket items that it takes a long time to make those improvements.
A couple other things, I think. I guess the other thing I wanted to state is that, you know, based on my previous slide, looking at sites that make sense to be investing in, there's sites that already have infrastructure and they can be improved, or there's sites that make most sense for strategic reasons. They're, you know, right off of highways, they are close to the Micron site, they're already zoned properly. You know, there's a certain shovel readiness, I guess, to some of these sites. So making investments in infrastructure makes sense. So
I think having those sort of those conversations with the local communities and say, what are the sites that you think make most sense for development? How ready are they? What do they need? You know, is this going to be, you know, are we at the 10-yard line? We got to go 10 yards to get a touchdown. Or are we on the other side of the field and this thing's got to go the whole distance? And I think those are sort of some of the conversations we need to have and determine, okay, based on this, if we have, say we have $50 million to invest in infrastructure, where's our best bang for a buck? Where are we going to put it that it's going to have immediate and the best returns? And really that's the way, there's a lot more work that needs to be done than we have money or time for it. So we need to kind of triage this and look at it. Like, where do we do it first? Where does it make most sense to start? And then kind of work a way out from there.
Yeah, a question. And this was brought up in our last meeting too. We're pretty much, you know, to get in and out of this area, we're pretty much at the mercy of state highways. Boston, you drive from Cleveland, yeah. This week over
day. Every day.
49.
How 49?
Probably counting this.
All right.
But for years, you know, all the small central square, I'll speak for them right away, because 11 and 49 need improvements. They come up to state, you know, oh, we're going to do this, and oh, we have to shelve it. We don't have any money. On top of that, if you have a problem, I don't care if it's a damn pothole, try to find somebody to come up and fix it. We're having to do a lot of it ourselves out of our own pockets. The thing is, and this isn't just today or because of Micron, this has been happening for years. The county, you've got a lot of call to helping us with the development, but how about how to get in and out of here? And it starts with those two state roads. They control a lot of this. They need some redesign. 11 going through Central Square was put in 1941. And that's the same, you know, stormwater drainage you got there.
Weren't you the clerk of the works on that job, Buck?
Pardon? Yeah, I came a year afterwards.
So an interesting.
That was a day.
There is an interesting thing going on right now. And so when I was at the environmental review open house a couple weeks ago in Onondaga County, they had a slide up, and I wish I'd put it in here. It was a slide about a traffic study. There was almost as many points of traffic that they were looking at in Oswego County as they're looking at in Onondaga County. A lot of that's around Route 11. They're looking at 81. They're looking at 481. They're looking at 49. They're looking at 264, 3. They're looking at a lot of things that I wouldn't have thought that they'd be looking at as part of the environmental impact of the Micron project. You know, I'm thinking it was going to be within maybe 5 miles or less of the site. But they're looking at a lot of sites going north. They're not looking at a lot going east, a lot going west, a little bit going south, but they're looking at a lot of sites going north. The other thing that's important too, and this isn't all happening in a vacuum, is you gotta think that in you know, between 4 and 6 years, you're gonna see major work happening on 81. What is 81 gonna look like in not a lot, you know, half a decade in terms of getting to downtown Syracuse, getting to the hospitals, getting to other areas where you have a lot of people living. And so I think there's a lot of opportunities for not just Northern Onondaga County, Southern Oswego County to say, hey, listen, we are a community that isn't going to be impacted by that, especially if you're looking at Micron. It's going to be easier going north than it's going to be going south. I'll just tell you that now. It's going to be a lot easier going north.
Aren't you looking at federal funding versus state funding? And it's the state funding and the state that controls us out here. Mm-hmm. These are state highways.
I think Austin's comments were more about what's going to happen and where is it going to happen. And once that 81 project starts, investors, whether they're commercial, industrial, residential, they're not going to want to have to deal with all those detours and the traffic jams trying to get from south of Syracuse up to this area and the Micron sites and the business sites. So people are gonna make smart choices, and they're gonna invest where they're not gonna be inconvenienced, right? Right. That 81 project is gonna be a decade or more. Yeah. So we're kind of in the catbird seat if we can get ready for it.
Yeah.
And the other part of the traffic study is a lot of that's being pushed by the state. So getting back to that point of the state needs this project to succeed as much as Micron does. They need this to be a win. They need this thing not to get stalled after the first phase. They don't want to see this happen like Global Foundries did out in Saratoga area, where you announce the project and you get half the project. So I think that they are looking, the state is going to be amenable to solutions. So how do you solve some of these issues? And if these communities say, hey, listen, we have the opportunity to do this. If you guys can come in and make our roads a priority, help get these things improved, widened, maintained, I think you'll be helping solve a problem that the state's already seen coming. And so I would get in front of that and just say, hey, listen, we have all this opportunity for growth. If you want it, all we need is you guys at the DOT to help us on these things, and then we can make it happen. So, jump to this other slide here. So we talked infrastructure, talked economic development.
I'll take a hard break.
Workforce development opportunities. So this is another thing that this is going to be crucial. We need to be able to solve this, or we're going to see not see the project happen that we want to see happen. I'm working with our partners at Schuylkill County Workforce New York, Workforce Development Board, the Schuylkill County Workforce Development Board, as well as our educational institutions and other partners, MACNI, Workforce Development Institute, everybody. I mean, I've never seen everyone come together like this before for a single issue. So as of right now, and this is where you see actually if you were to ask, where is Micron engaging with Oswego County the most? Micron themselves, it's on the workforce development side, because they know that is key and they need to get that pipeline working now so that it's in place when they need it. So Micron's working hand in hand with our institutional partners like SUNY Oswego, QB Community College. They're working down and they're working a lot with Onondaga Community College. City BOCES to develop robust talent pipelines to support the influx of semiconductor jobs. They're going to be trying to attract people into our area, but the majority of the jobs are going to come from within. And, it's how fast can we have those people ready for those jobs?
So on our side, to react to that, we've had workforce development people on staff for many years, but it was a small office under the Department of Social Services, and they had lots of other ancillary responsibilities. Well, we created a new department, elevated the staff, so now there's a director of workforce development and made that like a priority, took it out of social services, a standalone, so that we can really get focused on workforce development, work with our partners in the schools and Micron and Onondaga County on getting that pipeline filled. Mm-hmm.
One other thing that, and this is something that I want, every day I'm talking to dozens of companies, you know, everyone from your Hudamakis and your Novelises to small manufacturers and everything else in between. And almost all of them have expressed some concern over what is this going to do to our workforce? You know, like, why would they bring someone from California or, you know, halfway across the country when they can just take them right out of our workforce and pay them, you know, much more than we can. So another thing that we're working on and being proactive about is trying to address our existing employers, making sure that this isn't going to be one job created for Micron at the expense of a company in Oswego County. So it's something that, you know, if I was to say there's something that keeps me up at night about this, that's the thing, you know, because it is a challenge, you know, but I think we're looking at developing programs and working with them. And it does create other opportunities. It creates opportunities to bring people into the workforce that currently aren't participating in the workforce, you know, for you know, other reasons, childcare, transportation, other things. So we can solve problems to solve that problem. But it's something that we need to address before it becomes a problem. And one of the other things that we're working on, and this we're working on with our regional partners in Empire State Development, is to develop a robust talent attraction campaign for Central New York. It's not something we've really had in the past. You know, we've been a region that has been a mostly stagnant population for, you know, going back to the 70s and 80s. And we're going to have to look at, we currently have a 5-county region population of around 750,000. We may be looking at going upwards of 1 million people in 20 years. That might be an aggressive, you know, an aggressive estimate, but I would say at least 100,000 people. So I think that, you know, you got to look at what does that mean and how do you address that? You know, you're going to add 100,000 people, you got to add 50,000 houses, you know, I mean, that's the way to look at it. You can't, you know, or housing units, doesn't have to be houses, it could be housing units. So how do you solve the issues to get the amount of people here that you need to make everybody happy and fill all the jobs and do everything? So said before, you know, Dave and I have got my cards here. If anyone wants a card, it's my email there. If you want to talk to us about this, both about the Micron project or the steering committee or any of the groups that, that are there, to how you can help participate. But, you know, we've done this, some version of this presentation to multiple communities, and happy to be able to come in front of all you guys tonight and do this. Usually we're doing it one community at a time, so it's good to kind of have multiple in here and tell the same story, and you guys can kind of look around at yourself and say, what do we, you know, how do we want to be a part of this?
Well, you said you had 50 million you could give out.
I don't have 50 million. Hypothetically.
Yeah,
we've had that conversation. So
you just want a sliver?
Well, it does. There is going to be opportunities to apply for funding, you know, both at the federal level, at the state level, as I said before. The federal government needs this thing to succeed just as much as we do. Yeah. State government needs us to succeed just as much as we do. And they're looking for people who can help solve problems. So if we can say,
I can solve that problem.
Here, right. We can solve a problem.
Yeah.
And, and help us solve problems. You know, being able to serve industrial parks or serve future commercial sites and housing stuff. I mean, we're willing and want to work with people, but you know, we gotta be help be problem solvers for us too.
Do you plan on going to the, or I don't know if it's already in the works, or going to the Central Square School and talk to, you're going to be talking to, even if we talk to ninth and 10th graders and stuff,
so,
just encourage them to stay, because I know a lot of kids that are graduating, they're not staying in New York. They don't care what's going on, they're leaving.
I'm not
saying all of them.
Sure.
But if there's 20 kids and there's six leaving, that's not a good percentage.
That's absolutely something that is in play now. I don't think it's to the level it needs to be. And I think that you even got to go younger. I mean, you got to get kids interested in this.
But it's a start. Kids are going to understand. I mean, they're nervous about getting out of school.
Kids
maybe they don't even like the politics of the state. Maybe they're just leaving to, you know,
get out of here.
It could be weird.
I think that this is going to provide an opportunity that has not been here in a very long time in terms of a company that's growing rapidly and aggressively. It's going to be paying a wage that's going to be, you know, just different than what we're used to.
The workforce development team has that as part of their plan. They have programs from like pre-K all the way up through college, different levels of trying to get people interested in the STEM programs, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of the workforce development team's agenda.
Yeah, we need to improve schools really quick too.
The unions are gearing up also. I'm sure they're going to be.
They're probably one of the ones that's probably the most ready. And even then, they don't have the amount of people that they need.
I see a lot of advertisements for all of them.
Yeah. The one thing that I see in a lot of the programs that are starting to come out now are, you know, a lot to hear with to do specifically with the Micron manufacturing, but there's going to be so much more with equipment operators, welders, electricians, control specialists,
HVAC.
And it just goes on and on. Wastewater treatment people, because they're going to be using reverse osmosis, and that's a huge undertaking right there. So when you start thinking about this globally, you can get focused in on specifically Micron type of trades, but there's a lot more to this, because those 100,000 people are going to need somebody to work on their house, replace their appliances, take care of some things. And I think for some of the younger folks here, if they think that there's some entrepreneurial potential here, they're going to open up a business and try to make this grow and stay in the area. But it really is easy to get focused on a lot of those things, and there was a lot more opportunity back in the 70s and 80s with, and even before, with GM and Chrysler and Carrier and GE. And some of the suppliers are going to have a struggle, just like you were saying, that some of these other smaller companies are going to actually be trying to supply items to Micron, and they're going to struggle to find people to supply that. And we want to keep as many dollars here as we can and take advantage of that.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying too is, I think this goes along with the vocational part of the BOCES program.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of been tapered down over the I don't know if it's less participation or what's going on, but I think it should be flourished or funded harder or recruitment or something.
I don't know if you're familiar with the PTEC program through BOCES. It's very STEM-based, and there's only a few kids from each school district. But the way that school funding works in New York State kind of works against that, because schools are evaluated on the number of pupils and how well they did, what their scores were, and how many graduated, and how many went out of college. And so every time you take one of the like higher end kids out of a school and put them in a separate program, that brings that average down for that school district, right? So you take 10 of their brightest kids and put them in this PTEC program, that brings all those other numbers down. And so school superintendents don't like it for that reason. They're like, you're hurting my reports at the end of the year by taking the best kids out of my school.
So if they know that student, why don't they redo their report so it doesn't?
That has to do with the state, doesn't
that's
it?
That's the state.
The state is the biggest one. As much as they are a proponent of all this, these projects, they're our biggest enemy. Yeah. Speaking for small businesses, they hate small businesses in upstate New York. So they despise us. They do everything that they can to undermine small business. So that's where a lot of this stuff needs to start, is with Albany. Because we can do everything in this room right and build all this stuff right. But why would you want to? I wouldn't want to start a new business in this state. I can tell you that, going back to his part. Shit, I'd be the first one to leave 20 years ago, because they're chasing us out.
Yeah. Well, I can say this. The only thing we can do, we can only control what we can control.
And that's why
can advocate at the state level, and we can tell them, hey, listen, if you want this thing to be successful, you guys have to change. It's not going to happen. It's a cruise ship. It's not going to turn around quick on that.
But yeah.
I think that's something that you need. We can change what we can change. We can advocate. We can inform on the things we can. Tell them, hey, if you guys.
But you're going to have to advocate for us people here with the state, because this infrastructure, if we don't get it in here, we're just parking up the wall here.
Right. I agree.
The sewers, you need. And if you can't get grants to get them, where are you going?
Here's another, like, going down that road, like, right? We're trying to just put, it's not even a bridge, it's a cul. And we're banging our head on the wall just to
see the knees. We couldn't bang any roads in this town because you got a bridge over here with four people on the other side of it.
Yeah, it's the D.C. You know, it's like, if we're hitting a wall there, I can tell you that with this project, they're working with DEC, but they're like, listen, if you don't work with us, we're going to run you over. I mean,
we don't have that option.
I know, I understand.
You got to be the advocate for all of us. Be like, everybody's got
to me, it's like
lay off. Or
to me,
you're not looking to do something illegal. You just want it to go faster than what
they
have.
Yes. Too much trouble, really.
But I mean, it's not like you guys don't know that.
Right.
It's
just, we're aware.
Well, that's, I think Brian said it, that's our concern. Or, you know, you're like, that's awesome. It's all awesome.
So part of the reason why we're wanting to have these meetings is so that we can learn some of the things that you guys are up against and maybe, you know, help you get through some of those problems. You can't guarantee it, you know, how hard it is. But if we don't know about it, we can't be your advocate for it either, right? So
maybe it's creative writing. If they help us get that bridge in, there's like 400 acres on the other side that I could build houses for Micron.
No, that's honestly not a bad idea.
You know what I mean? But you're
just, you gotta put that carrot out there. That was just related to Micron.
And it's only a couple miles up the road.
That's the kind of question I wanted to ask is, okay, so you said there's gonna be federal state money available for infrastructure to support investments that will help the Micron issue. So what's the process? So Constantia is short $10 million for their water, but they've identified some housing areas that, you know, we could be developed for Micron, but the water project is for those housing. So how do they calculate, or how do they communicate that? How do they apply for the extra money that they just cannot raise themselves in order to put the infrastructure in place to support the overall? How is that going to work?
Sure. Well, what I would say, one of the things, if there are challenges on those things, it's not that the funding is not going to come from Empire State Development, but if we can make those challenges are known to them, they can get that to people up the chain who are very influential and tied to the governor's office on this. So
right now they are so focused on the Micron project and pretty much making that 1,400 acres their work that, you know, they're probably not seeing everything else that needs to happen, but they need to understand that you're going to have a, you're going to have a bottleneck if you can't solve these other things. You know, we don't want to see this where only the two plants get built if the rest doesn't happen. So I think if you can tie it to, now I wouldn't stretch it and lie, but you know, if you could say, listen, this town has the potential to grow 800 housing units if we do this, this, and this.
Especially if you have a developer already knocking on your door saying, hey, I'd like to do this. What, you guys, can you get water there? Can you get sewer there? And if that person's willing to like write a letter saying, hey, I've got X number of dollars I want to invest in housing, and I can't do it unless the town of Constantia can get a water line or a sewer line 5 miles down the road to me. You know, people are paying attention when you add Micron into the sentence,
yeah.
Right?
So, yeah.
And not to be cynical, but there's a lot of people like 2 hours east of here, 2.5 hours east of here, who would really like to make some kind of big announcement every year in like the third week of October, for example, or maybe the first week of November, you know.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And there's a lot of...
When did they announce this?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Go figure.
There's a great guy. He's got a lot of money.
There's a lot of federal money out there too at this point, and I would say that sometimes it's difficult dealing with our congressmen and our U.S. state senators for New York, but they're just as tied to this project seeing it succeed. And if you can get in their ear about federal funding and things like that, I think you could get through some doors as well. So
remember, the federal government made CHIPS a national security issue, and so there's a lot of pressure on them to deliver on the promises that they've made locally and the money that they've been able to get to give to Micron and other people. So
you mentioned updating the county comprehensive plan. Is there a time frame on that? Is that something that we're going to see next year or over the winter, or how is that? Is that in the early stages, or how is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so we recently had money allocated to do that, and we've been making updates, if you will, that belong in the plan but haven't been adopted because it didn't make sense to just say, well, we changed all the census numbers in the plan, so we're just going to update that with new census information. So we've got a lot of the information already to plug in, but now we've got to go through like the public participation process and all that. So the legislature recently allocated funds for that. I can tell you also, before I took this job, I was the director of planning and community development. And the person who took my place, I was meeting with him this morning. He's going to try to get two new positions, not called planners, but like community development specialists or technicians, or civil service system is crazy. And the way that you name things brings certain responsibilities. And we're trying to develop a title that gives us enough flexibility to hire people with the right skill sets that don't have a master's degree in community planning, right?
Real life degree.
Not that isn't valuable, but they're hard to find, right? So we're trying to find titles that will give us flexibility with people with the same kind of skills. And the purpose of these two positions will be to go out into communities who are ready to be doing some of that planning and work with them, help them write grants, help them walk them through the planning processes. So they'll be like roving county employees working in all your communities if we can get those positions funded. So
the thing that's up there is the intermunicipal collaboration. I think that's going to be big.
Right.
Communities, there's funding out there for communities that work together at the state level. There's incentives out there for that. You know, you do stuff, you work together. There's you can show savings, you can get funding from the state directly.
That's what this is about, right? The NorCog, right?
Yeah. And so I think you guys have a good model, and I think you guys are far ahead than some of the other communities that maybe adjacent communities are not that far away. I've dealt with, and they don't talk to each other. They don't do anything. So you guys are pretty far ahead of the game, I would say, compared to some of your peers in a super county.
Last December at the Shared Services Committee meeting, the members present, I think, Katie, you were there, they voted to have as part of their plan joint planning initiatives. So, for example, if a town and a village wanted to cooperate on a comprehensive plan or zoning land use, and they did it together, and as a result of doing it together, they saved money, then you could get reimbursed for those savings through the shared services program. So that's an option as well.
And it has higher priority at the state level too. When they look at that, you're applying for grant funding, and you can show that there's intermunicipal collaboration or agreements, then you get extra bonus points on those.
David Austin, I have a question. I found out that there is a plan with the county to, and the town of Hastings, to utilize the old railroad bed, recreational trail with the sewer line from Hastings to the Fulton treatment plant. Okay, and you fellows are familiar with the Lion Lake, I know. So we have a plan of 1,000 bright pumps in Constantia to expel all of that to the Cleveland treatment plant, which will then send the wastewater into our Lion Lake. Wouldn't it be better to use the land route and plenty for Hastings and take it on a little bit farther and take that directly to Fulton, where everybody wants the wastewater to go because it's a lot of water movement there, and that's where it ends up anyway. What do you think about extending that plan to the town of Constantia?
So right now it's just a concept, one that's been fairly well received. It would be faster and less expensive to dig up an old rail bed and bury a trunk line underneath it. You don't have all the expense and time of managing traffic and all those other things. But there's also concerns, like Fulton says, oh yeah, that'd be great for us, except they have about $40 million of work that they need to do to their treatment plant before they'd be able to start taking on that kind of volume. So,
you just missed your 10-year window like crazy, because you're supposed to be building houses and having everything done.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You should be able to put in a small sewer plant a lot faster than that.
Well, permitting, funding.
Funding is the big part.
It's probably a 10-year project by the time you get all the design, the permits, and the money. We've been working with Phoenix to try to upgrade theirs so that, we're out of capacity at the industrial park on Route 481. Phoenix was having to demonstrate offsets of 2-to-1 in order to add a new customer on. That's how tight their capacity was because they had wet weather concerns. So we've been working with them for a decade.
Right? So what's the hold up there?
Well, we're very close. We're waiting.
What's your biggest hurdle to overcome when it comes to getting it done?
Money. And I can tell you, COVID, you've probably seen it if you've got infrastructure projects in your town. In 2019, that project, it's a joint project with the town and the village. The project was just over $7 million. The application that I filed about 3 weeks ago, we're over 11 now.
Same project.
Same project. Nothing's changed in the project. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's the biggest challenge, is the funding side. In Oswego County, you have multiple small municipalities that own the wastewater treatment plants, and they don't, one from a compliance side of DEC, a lot of them are having issues. This one's on 41 corridor. I'm not sure if they're the same issues out here, but you've got small populations that are having to pay tens of millions of dollars to do things the way the DEC wants to do them, plus get the capacity that you need for growth. And it's just the density isn't there to make those sorts of investments. If you ask a community like Fulton's got $40 million they got to pay, and they got 12,000 people. Right. You guys have got, you know, probably the same, you know, same amount of people total across Constantia and Cleveland and West Monroe, and you got, you know, $60 million. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's just, it's, the numbers don't make sense.
Right.
So without significant subsidies, 80-90% grant funding to make them work.
Yeah.
It's just not the way state.
One of the reasons we're looking at whether there should be an authority, you know, to help make those improvements. So how, what would that look like if there was one?
Well, the help would be, and it sounds like it's just got to be on the funding side, because we know you can do the improvements, just got to get them funded, and they're all pretty much well planned. But just gonna...
I think that side, and as well as operators and stuff like that, I think that as we know, there could be savings if, you know, you had operators that could operate multiple plants. Not every community right. has their own operator, or what do you do when that guy retires?
To the entrepreneurial yeah. side, couldn't you? I mean, it could be a firm that, like, I'm going to go out there and run a, you know, like the, whatever, mm-hmm. the Serve Pro sewer plant, you know, who's going to run three plants instead of it.
Good. Yeah. What's the consulting firm that's doing the wastewater infrastructure?
CNS.
They're the engineering firm right by the airport there.
Yes.
CNS
engineer.
Yeah.
Yep. They're the ones. They have a lot of information. I mean, they're working with a lot of the communities in the 481 corridor already. They're in all these places, so they have a pretty good inventory of what the facilities have, and they work with communities that have had to overcome those and develop solutions for them. So. They're pretty good on that.
Did I hear correctly, or through the, I think, is it the Henry Clay Boulevard or the Oak Orchard plant is their plant, or they designed it?
Yes, they're involved in that. Yeah. That, I mean, that's, so the issues you have here are not, they're not different than the issues in Onondaga County. It's just different models that we have to invest in and operate these plants.
Because they got to improve that plant, correct?
Oh yeah,
they are.
Big
guy.
And the numbers are climbing on that one. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. Well, if you say that your water needs just doubled, I'm assuming your wastewater needs are going to double too.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Got to go somewhere.
Yep.
It's a circle.
You guys said there's a Micron steering committee
mm-hmm.
on that. Is there any representation within the Norcott community on that?
I have to look at the list.
Yeah.
That would be Central Square, West Monroe. Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. So, excuse me, I made a mistake having a small dish of maple walnut ice
cream. That's not a mistake.
No, it wasn't maple walnut. Yeah. The walnuts get me every time, though. So, there's like steering committee, and then there's the sub working groups underneath that. For example, on the infrastructure committee, Burns sits on that as well. So not every community is represented on the steering committee because they're more like focused on persons' expertise. So it might be like school superintendents and Austin in economic development business. Keep the group small so we can be productive. But then that's the purpose of having the subcommittees underneath, where we can bring in people from the other communities and bring their information up to the top.
I would say I'm probably the closest person you have to somebody on the steering committee living in the village group. Okay. But there is multiple people who are either in government or involved out this way, like Dave said, on those different work groups. For sure.
Did you grow up in Cleveland?
I did not. My mom actually grew up in Burns Bay for about 5 or 6 years, moved away. I grew up down in Town Preble, down in Portland County. So I'm very familiar coming from a small town.
Yep.
And but I moved up here, live on the lake, and wouldn't live anywhere else.
The beautiful North Shore and Lake.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The governor wants everything to turn green electric. So we've only got like 1-5% for solar panel and wind panel energy. Mm-hmm. So where's all this energy going to come from for Micron? You don't need to answer these questions. The Arizona Micron facility is asking the United States government to import
500 Taiwanians, sorry if that's wrong, to help run their plant. Is that going to happen here? Don't need to answer that question. All this money is our taxes. Our taxes are going to go up. Went up this year. It's going to go up next year. It's going to go up the year after that. You're going to run people out of here that don't, senior citizens. You're going to run us right out of here. There's talk about the county water and septic going to Oswego County, taking that over. But you're talking years down the road. So that's not going to help West Monroe. West Monroe tried to put a plan in at $12 million 3 years ago, and now it's $25 million. We can't afford it. We need 800 more units to actually be under the $1,000 per house. You could put 800 people in this town. We have the room for it, but in order to do it, we got to have sewers. So basically, it's not going to happen.
We're going to have people willing to build.
Build what? Build a house on Spooner's Hill? There's no septic there. So you're going to put in a $20 million septic system, and then 20 years down the road, they're going to put a pipe down through the road. It's not going to happen.
It's a chicken or egg issue. You know, you need to have infrastructure to get people, and you need people to get infrastructure. It's, yeah. You know, what can you fix first? And I think in this case, it's, you know, there's going to have to be some investment in infrastructure, however that happens.
We can't afford it. West Monroe cannot afford it. The people of West Monroe cannot afford $25 million to put sewers in and a plant.
I would say every community in Oswego County can't afford it. Dave and I, we've been working with Phoenix and Scruple to try to improve their plant. That cost is, you know, maybe a third or a quarter the size of some of the other ones, and they still can't do it. I mean, it's an issue. I mean, that project's probably going to be, by the end of it, 90% grant funded, 85% grant funded, you know, just to make it make sense. And I think that's probably, you know, across the board, you're going to see that in other facilities, is it's going to have that much kind of funding because of it's a density.
The funding, you know, increases our taxes. Where's the money come from? Mm-hmm. Our taxes.
So if you want to get political about it, we can borrow it back from the Ukraine.
Yeah. They didn't even know where the money is in Ukraine.
I know you guys want
but
I think you made a good point about the housing costs, property taxes, property about, you know, revals, the value of the property are going to go up, and people who've been living in properties for a long time are going to get priced out,
yes,
to some extent. So I think that is an unintended consequence that we all do need to start paying attention to, because you don't want to see the senior citizens not be able to pay the property taxes anymore, because all of a sudden what used to be a $100,000 house, it's a $300,000 house because of the rise in property values. So I think that's something to track. I don't know what to do about it.
If all of these rural communities can't, and I agree with what this gentleman is saying, that we can't afford a lot of the stuff that's needed to allow for development. If that's the case, isn't it likely that this project will stall, like you mentioned earlier, on some of the other big projects the state is trying to initiate? And I mean, it could stall after this first phase, and it could never get any bigger if no one's ready to education.
It's a possibility. The other option that could happen is that the Micron project doesn't stall, but the other supporting industry goes elsewhere in New York State because we can't meet it. Rochester, Buffalo, Albany, or, you know, Utica, other places get projects that we should get, but because we can't support it. So I wouldn't necessarily say the Micron project, although that could happen, but it may be the other things that haven't been announced or that haven't happened yet, you know, or things we don't get because we can't meet them.
So if you're familiar with this, is there a town close by that has an infrastructure that's underutilized, that's in better shape than Constantia, West Monroe, Cleveland, or I mean, what's the
close by? I would say probably the closest would be maybe Hastings. I mean, Hastings has some additional infrastructure. They have, you know, they have sewer in the entire town, or not sewer, but water in the entire town, pretty much. They do have some capacity for sewer. They're well positioned in terms of strategically located, but that doesn't mean that it's a cakewalk. I mean, it's still. Yeah. And everybody's going to have to invest at some level to see the kinds of things.
Is there a number two? I mean, is there, you said, you know, say Hastings?
Menino? Not close, but Minetto is probably 50% capacity on their wastewater system. They've got some problems.
Senator Knoll's wastewater treatment plant.
I'm shooting for Oswego County.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't say there's anybody who's just ready to go. I mean, there's going to be a.
But I'm familiar with that Phoenix Park, and that thing is actually a nice. It's been a nice park for a long time, and if you did acquire more property.
We already have. We've got more land to the north of it. We just can't.
Personally, I think it's a great move. I mean, that is a nice park, or always had potential. You know what I mean? But
they have their own issues there. I mean, I would say every sewer plant in Oswego County, the city of Oswego, Fulton, Phoenix, you know, Albion Parish, Central Square in Hastings, Cleveland, everyone has their Mexico, Alaska, they all have their issues. And so that's why the idea of looking at, hey, is there a way that the county could work, not necessarily saying they need to own the plants, but is there a way that we can work together to make some of these things happen better? But I think probably looking back,
so one of the advantages of an independent development authority or some entity like that is that they have bonding authority, right? And they can make investments over a long period of time and spread the cost across the people that are impacted. So, for example, one way that DANC does it is that, say, Constantia needs to build 5 miles of sewer line, but they don't have the money and they don't want to go to referendum and make the investment. DANC would go in and build the infrastructure and then have an agreement with the community over a period of time, like a user fee,
like at least
so they get their money back over a period of time. And that takes the weight off of a small community that doesn't have the population density to do those things, right?
Do you know if that's how, like, because a lot of these plants are right around the same age. They're all like in the 30, 35. So at that time, they all must have, because a lot of these plants went in around the same time.
That was water grant days. 87 cents on the dollar. That's what they got.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is what you need now. 87 cents on
the dollar. I was going to say, I was wondering if you can see all this stuff happening. Maybe that's the thing to, you know, don't create a larger authority just asking for their help, but just the whole money thing.
The other thing I think that could help to get funding is that, and it has been helpful in Phoenix, although we're not all the way there yet. We were real close, and then COVID happened, and the goalposts got moved out on us. But is that if you have something you can show, listen, if this happens, we have a park that can serve X amount of companies and this and that, you know, it's not just a serving your residents, it's an economic development opportunity project at that point. And if the state looks at that, you can get funding from other sources you maybe not wouldn't have gotten before. Village of Phoenix got $750,000 from Empire State Development. Empire State Development is for economic development for their wastewater treatment plant. They wouldn't have gotten it if there wasn't an economic development project to tie it to. So I think those are things to look at too. And it gets back to the, are there places in your communities that you'd want to see developed for industrial purposes or for commercial purposes or residential purposes? And if you can show that, you can identify that and say, hey, all we need is sewer, all we need is water and sewer, and that thing's ready to go. That's something you can then sell to the states to get that funding.
I think one thing you have in your advantage is that it's highly likely you're going to see development in because of your proximity to the micro project. And water quality is something that they put a high value on. So you've already got places where you're seeing algae blooms throughout the course of the year. And you've got systems that are old and need work. And you've got plans and projects that are you're trying to get funded. And the more you can tie those to, you know, the potential negative impact on water quality. Like if we don't do this, more of this will happen.
So I get the question for you is the wastewater issues, is it more related to consent decrees and issue of water quality issues, wet weather issues, that you have to fix, or is it more related to capacity? Like, is it issues that DEC says you have to fix and it's going to cost you this much to fix it, or we, you know,
no,
it's not that.
No.
At least you don't have that.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's issues on most of the plants on East Oswego River, is that they have consent decrees. So they have to make these investments just to continue to operate the plants, not even to really grow them, just to continue to operate them. Like, if you have to, somebody comes and says, well, we, you know, a burn dairy comes and says, we want to hook up and we only need 1,000 gallons a day. And DEC says, well, you actually have to remove 3,000 gallons a day to be able to add their 1,000. That's the kind of problem. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if it's possible DEC doesn't even support this project. And, you know, if all these sewage treatment plants are in trouble, why add to it? I'm talking about the Cleveland plant.
Right.
I mean, why make it bigger and have a whole another system out here that's going to be under consent decrees in the future? And no money to pay for those.
Yeah.
That's why we're not getting money from that.
I think they look at it the lesser of two evils of they'd rather have a sewage treatment plant that's treating and has a, you know, and is doing things than having 1,500 septic systems that are in various stages of, you know, decay or releasing.
No control.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think if they look at it from the perspective of, well, they'd rather have the one thing that they can monitor and control and kind of have something on it than a bunch of systems that were put in, you know, 50 plus years ago that they can't.
So how do we have substantial benefit from that? We don't have.
I think it's something that's to be able to see the kind of growth that the town of Constantia is, I would say the town of Constantia and town of West Monroe are capable of. I mean, I drive 49 every day and I see a lot of land that can be developed on either side, and really that's going to be needed.
See, that's half the problem. We don't have rope ties.
What's that?
We don't have rope ties.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We don't have,
yeah.
You know. You can only get in West Monroe, you got the golf course and you got the swamps.
DEC came to us, came to one of our house builders and asked about the 500-foot zone.
Mm-hmm. Wetland. It's called the check zone?
Yeah.
The check zone.
Check zone, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, in West Monroe, there's not going to be too many houses built,
right,
if there's a 500-foot
check zone. Everything's in the check zone, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But conversely, you know, there are.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. I just pray that law doesn't. It says regulated. You should get it checked. So there's a lot of leeway there. I mean,
sure.
it doesn't make the officer right by doing it.
Right.
You know, by harassing him, it just says you should contact. He didn't. Wasn't supposed to. It just said should.
Between there and a wetland?
There's a 100-foot buffer, and then there's a 500-foot check zone.
I never heard of
check. Yeah,
don't just came in
the wetland. So you read it. It says you should call and make sure that
go on the Oswego County Real Property Tax website, pull up the GIS, and you click on the layer, the yellow layer, and it's everything yellow. That's the check zone.
And that's what it's a whole other subject. That's not a good
thing. Deal with that in Volney and all sorts of
right. Yeah, we're not the only ones, but to Mike's point,
yes.
It's like
you're not going
to
build any houses.
Well, you're going to build them. You're just got to get ready to say like, no, you got to leave. And also, you know, but yeah, they want people to build. And lately, there hasn't been, you know, the incentive to build here.
So the Supreme Court recently said that in order to be classified as a wetland, has to be part of a connected system. And there's plenty of wetlands right now in New York that aren't part of connected systems. They're small, independent, wet areas.
So it took their power away?
Well, it hasn't been tested yet, but this was
right.
A Supreme Court ruling.
I am familiar with that. And I was like, boy, I'm glad they did that because it was like.
So that's going to open up some opportunities.
Yeah.
And also, there's been places where they've successfully used wetlands as part of their wastewater treatment process. So you may have some areas that would make sense to try to develop
a natural filter.
Small, like
Cold Harbor.
Yeah.
Cold Harbor would be a perfect place or something like that, but.
Right. A big natural filter.
And it's only about 3,000 acres.
Right.
Oh, Constantia sets on also.
Yeah.
Norris Park, the call connects down through there.
There are wildlife management areas. You have to change laws.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, you're not building.
They're not gonna go. Yeah. There's other places though where you could do like a what they call a package plant. So it's not a centralized plant with an outfall into a big body of water, where you could potentially use small wetlands of lesser value as your filter and treatment system.
Vertical wetlands, they have all sorts of stuff.
Yes, they probably can tell you more about that than I could. But
they Onondaga County had a bunch of them, but they were on the older side there, 50s, 60s. Vintage, but they took a lot of them offline because they couldn't meet permit. But the modern day package plant definitely has some value, which is an option. And looking at some of the things for wastewater treatment, if somebody really wanted to develop a piece of property, they would take that on. When you're talking a size of 400 or 500 units,
right?
It's a no brainer if you're looking to it's just a part of the calculation. And if you're going to make enough money off of that project, you're going to do it. Yeah. There's
might add $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million to the cost, but if you got 400 units to kind of share that or, take it out of there, then it makes financial sense.
Right.
What do you think of the idea that sewage treatment plants in rural communities will become a thing of the past? There just won't be any. And I'm going to cite an example here of what went on in Cleveland. Cost of that sewage treatment, the expansion of that sewage treatment plant went from $5 million to $12 million.
Mm-hmm.
Went up $7 million in 3 years.
Yep.
So now, to accommodate X number of more users, and it's not that great a number, it's a $12 million renovation. And you've got all these other sewage treatment plants in rural communities that are under consent orders. It seems to me that something has to give, or else it's not going to work. It's simply not going to work. Maybe what's going to give are the requirements the state has. I don't know. But somebody needs to be talking to them about that, too.
Good, great point. Yeah, I mean, another option really is you try to attract an anchor user, a big user who's going to. So,
you want to spend $25 million to put a plant in?
What's
$12 million just for the plant to put in 200 houses?
Yeah, it's not.
It's not
going to happen. Well, an anchor user doesn't have to be the houses. It can be a small company or whatever.
Large.
It can be an industrial company. It could be, say, in Cleveland. Say, for example, DC coming in and doing a training facility and something like that.
We're going to stick it to them, too.
Better. I think that those are options. But, it's not going to work for everything. I mean, that is a significant challenge, and I don't have a crystal ball how you solve that. I mean, it's been coming for a while, and it's getting more and more expensive and more difficult. Either the state's going to give, or the communities are going to have to say, we're going to have to turn this into some sort of a regional plant or a countywide plant or something else.
And that's what Onondaga County did, because the state health department looked at it. There was somewhere in the neighborhood of, 50 different package plants, and there still are other plants in Skinny Atlas and Tully and other places, but in the county consolidated sanitary district, they're down to 6 plants. That's what they reduced it down to to make it all work. But if you look at, there's a patchwork of a governance there, which makes it a little bit difficult because there's a lot of different sewer districts within the consolidated sanitary district. So it's complicated, and I will tell you, I like the authority idea. Just my 2 cents that I think it kind of puts you in the driver's seat, and the authority can go out there and do the work and procure at a much better rate and do things like Aqua does. They already have a lot of their standards done, and it's cookie cutter, and it's a very efficient model. It's not perfect, but it certainly does work.
But in the same token, we're seeing the end product. And how long did it take Aqua to get there? How long did it take the sewer authority to get there?
Right.
They went from a bunch of smaller plants, and then when it was over time. You're talking 40, 50 years to get to that point. So
we're not in
a bad thing by putting in smaller plants and stuff. Then, 40 or 50 years down, sure. Maybe that will be the goal. But right now, if you need them, right?
Probably just.
Me too.
A bunch of them.
Well, exactly.
You can do whatever you want to do.
So that's another, you know, part of the study is to really understand what all the problems are. You know, what do we have? What do we have and what do we need? And then when, like, if we saw with 11 or 12 different plants in the county and said, you know what, everybody has this problem in common, then we have a place to advocate from to DEC or other people at the state or funding agencies to say, hey, look, you got to help us solve this, you know? And part of it is your fault, you know?
Where your authority thing is a good, like, let them have the small plants at the time because it gets stuff done. It's quick or whatever, and it gets up and going. And then over time, the authority can, it helps in that part.
You don't know what you don't know, right?
Yeah, so right. Those old timers probably had the same discussion that we're all having because their money had to be, you know, rolling around them either. You know what I mean? Everybody that built all those plants back then was like, hey, just get it in. Let's get it done. Let's get it up and running. We'll worry about it later because I'm going to be dead soon. So they got it going.
Regulation from when they built those plants to now is when you look at power and all the wetlands permitting and seeker and everything else that goes into your air permits. And
if we had to build 81 today,
you could never do it.
Right.
Not
correct. It'd be a turtle in the way.
There's a lot to that, and it's a struggle. I don't even think that, you know, there's some challenges, but I think Micron's got the governor's office to move people out of the way, which
that's what I'm saying. You have an opportunity right now that it's a window of time to get in front of the state and the federal government to say, help us solve your problem.
It's their problem. So let's kind of go big, go quick.
Yeah. And I think that's probably your best card to play, really. And how you tie whatever you're trying to do to how it's going to help Micro. If you can help solve problems for the state, for federal government, then they're going to open up. We're going to use our own tax dollars and get it. But if we don't do it, someone else is going to get our tax dollars. Our taxes are still going to go up. So might as well try to get what you can.
So how many of you came here tonight thinking you're going to spend a couple hours talking about sewage?
Talked
enough
about it lately.
It's all a bunch of shit.
So can our communities do to start getting involved in learning everything that Oswego County IDA has already, you know, done? What's next?
I would appreciate and like to have the opportunity to have conversations with communities to see what growth they want to see happen. And I think if we can tie that growth, we can kind of come up with plans. Okay, what do you need to get there? Okay, now we have a plan of have you gotten the cost of that yet? No, you do. Okay, and then we can put together, because Dave's doing this right now on the infrastructure side of looking at water and sewer, but we also need to look on the site side of, you know, are there good sites? I mean, I look right to the east of 81 when you get off at 49, and I'm like, you've got all this land pretty much from here, you got Wiedenbach's prop, all those things there, and say that could be a great development.
You know why there's nothing there? No sewer.
No,
there's gas and there's water, but no sewer. And a couple of the big box stores picked them down and they said, you get sewer, we'll come back.
I wouldn't be talking
under 81, right?
Well, we've talked about that, but
we got plant capacity for that area. We can't go all the way to Constantia.
Right.
We don't have that much capacity.
Right.
And I talked to Brent before, because people call the village. The first question the developer asks us, what's your plant capacity? Well, we're about 55%. We can take your project. Somebody's got to shove it under or over 81.
Somebody's got to shove it, right.
But there was a problem with that. Going underneath,
yeah, the state won't let you. That's your problem. They
went through that.
Yeah, but would that screw up your plans for going north? I mean, you got to pick up North Country and all. You got a ton of open property up
there's,
there.
Yeah, but there's not that much. Hastings is only going to shove so much to us.
Yeah,
we're not going to go much farther than County Route 4.
Randy's right. We tried to get over there. It was about 10 years ago, I think.
Well, this happens since I've been mayor. We get phone calls.
They wouldn't let us go under anything anymore.
What you got? Is there still property in behind Walmart? Wasn't there a, you know, connection?
I don't know how much that Walmart has, but that Gravel Hill could be a road connection. You got a wetland behind there. So, yeah, there's wetlands all through there, but on top of the hills, but not enough, enough for a road width, but not enough to build houses on.
So the state says you can't go under 81, the DEC, because that's a federal road.
No, it takes money to do that. You got years of planning. All these hotel developers know when you say, well, you got to somehow you got to do something interstate 81 to get it to Center Square.
Mm-hmm. Well, this would be the time. I mean, New York State Senator is the chief guy.
The first meeting to come here, it was all about the damn algae on the north side, on this side of the lake.
Right.
And it's all because of the damn septic systems.
Yeah, the one I spotted frog.
I didn't see the frog.
Because only got one eye. None of us have.
He had the frog.
But everyone has plans. They want to go from, they want to go all the way from, you know, 81 all the way to Cleveland. I mean, maybe you got to look at phases and say, listen, I mean, the best thing we got to do right now is go to 37. Get it to 37. That's the project. And say, can we do that? Get it to the cross. There is a dead end. Get it down the Big Bay.
In a way, if this is the time to try to solve that. You know, Chuck Schumer is the top guy in the United States Senate. He's got a lot riding on this project being successful. If he can't get to the Federal Highway Administration, find a way to get a sewer pipe under 81, nobody's ever going to be able to do it.
Eventually, in the long term, if you pick up the railroad bed, it's right behind the plant for us.
Right.
Now, Hastings is going to probably bring some stuff to us, not a tremendous amount, but they've got room to develop on Route 11 and County Route 4 right there. For Karen Sesta, he's got big dreams and plans, and I don't know what he's done with his 200 acres of solar panels. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but we don't know what Karen, you don't know. He's wearing long sleeve shirts. You just don't know what's up his sleeve. So we've got some capacity to help some people.
Right. And
we could use the product. That's not a problem. Our plant's up to date. We just got done with 1.6 million modernization, and we're putting ultraviolet in. So we're moving forward, and we have outside user fees. So if there's an outside user, they pay a little bit more money than the village residents, but they're not vested in the system.
Is that system gravity fed all the way up from behind the community church and all those?
Probably Hastings won't gravity feed it, although we've tried to insist that they gravity feed all they can,
right?
Because it costs Hastings, and like you guys in Constantia, West Monroe, how much trouble do all these families' pumps give you? Hastings has an awful fit with pumps, and you guys all pump your sewage into the main trunk, and then you go under the lake for crying out loud. And that creates a problem because Hastings' line's not big enough. But Hastings is solving their problem down there. I think they are anyway.
Yeah.
So I mean, we would say somewhere around it, but not all the way to Port Cleveland, you know. But
Randy, when you say you run 55% of what, how many gallons?
I don't know what the total is. All I know is I tell the engineer, ask the engineer the question. He says, yes, you can take in more product.
Okay. All right.
And if the county does the railroad bed in 10 or 15 years, or if Hastings gets enough, hell, we might be pumping it to work because Hastings got a bigger plant. They keep jumping the size of that plant up.
Randy, has there ever been like a conceptual plan for getting under 81? Did anybody ever say this is where it would go?
It wouldn't let us go over. I know that.
Times are different. It's all been verbal.
Well, those conversations of going, putting a pipe along the bridge. I think last guy has that. Then the best one though is still going
I think one of the challenges might have been if you go in by where the bridge is, if you're trying to go under 81 by the bridge, they don't like that because there's support piles underneath.
Right.
If you took a jog and you went out of the influence of the bridge,
sure.
A casing across there because we went across 690.
Push gas under there?
National Grid just
pushed gas last year under that bridge.
They
were out a long ways.
Yep. So there's already an easement or right away that potentially could be utilized. Yeah. And if you take a.
Get these other guys help and get growing, I mean.
And
that's growth for us. It's growth for West Monroe. I don't know how far down we can go. We have to do a little bit of study done.
We probably can take it to 37, depending on what
certainly, if you're going to do it, you might as well put a couple of fires under there. Just in case.
See, you know, there we go.
Right? We just paid $25,000 to have that tied up?
No, it wasn't.
81 and
a portion.
So yeah, up to 37. Down
374. The patient's not credit about Route 11 up to Triangle 4. Trying to figure out how many houses they can get in there. How is their district going to pay out?
Right.
And they're studying that now. But gotcha. That's still 4 or 5 years away, usually.
Yeah.
We'll study where.
So, what else would you like to share with us tonight?
We didn't beat you up at all.
Because I know you have, Katie has a full agenda for you guys besides
I think you guys have probably taken the full agenda, which is perfect because we got to hear, we want to take advantage of
that.
We
needed to hear what you guys got to say.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Right. I think we're all for the truck run. It's like a fairy tale. Until it happens, we're not going to believe it. Well, it doesn't sound to me like we're going to be very prepared for it either. We're not. Other than we're doing
49, but at the same time, they're not prepared for it either.
Right.
Where it's going. And so you're all in the same boat, or we're all in the same boat.
But the difference is that they got the money. Some of the communities have money. They have paid professionals. We don't have any of that.
It seems like they have the money, but we don't know. I mean, they're searching just as hard.
They got their hands out just as much.
Correct.
And they're just, you know, they're saying, well, we're closer. We need it more. You know?
Right. They got the new sewer pipe going down to Bartell. That's got what, maybe 300-500 acres of land, farmland, and what houses it? They may not even need us.
Oh, they're gonna need more than that. Yeah. I mean,
they're gonna come here one way or the other.
Yeah. I like the whole idea of you guys going to the other plant and see what the problems of those communities and how they solve, because they had to be identified. I mean, there's no way.
Well, one difference is that, you know, you're talking the middle of Virginia, which is already pretty highly developed, right? And they're in an area that was more industrialized than most of what we have in Oswego County. So a lot of their challenges were different than what we're experiencing, right? Theirs was, a lot of it was traffic concerns, you know, adding 5 more lanes onto the main thoroughfare, getting people in and out of places and new truck routes and things like that. But that's, we're hoping to get a lot of those specific details in next week when we have those phone calls with them.
I remember years ago going down 20, like through, you know, near Cooperstown, or, you know, mm-hmm. running across that, and when they widened that out and they're taking the road out, right? Said to my brother, like, someday that's going to happen to 49 or whatever. It might not be, but you can see it coming.
A number of cars, no matter.
That's true.
You just have to add.
There'll be a lot of them. You need room for them when you stall out.
Big show. Put big shoulders out there for charging
right.
Station.
Yeah.
And break down.
Keep miles of leak cord.
Yeah.
Cosmic extension cord.
Right. And certainly, just one more point, that Onondaga County has their challenges with the wastewater. And we were taking looks when it was Project Eagle and it was a cannery, whether to take some of the flow from there and send it to Metro. And we were looking at pipelines going all over in many different directions. And the size of the pipes have grown significantly because I first started working on that. The Micron site back in 2013, and we were talking a 6-inch pipe and a 12-inch pipe. Now it's way further along than what you're looking at, and the size of the plant it was $120 million back then, and it wasn't even, that was only like 3 or 4 million gallons a day. Now they're talking something way bigger, and there's some challenges there, and they're going to run out of capacity because all their capacity is going to be stamped for Micron. So they have Wetzel Road or Burrard to go to, and both of those plants they're not under or over capacity, but they're picking upwards.
Well, they've already announced and said that Aqua to build another line is to serve you know, to get the other 20 million plus gallons, 24 million gallons they're going to need for the second is they're going to put a whole other line from town of Oswego all the way down at a cost of just the line itself is $100 million. That's just the line. That's not everything else. So your guys aren't alone. I mean, there's big things that need to be paid for, and, you know, they're going to have their hand out. So I would, you know,
figure that's out. Personally, I was wondering that's where it's where it was going to stall. Or, you know what I mean? Because it's like, holy miracle.
I think they'll figure it out. But
yeah, I'm sure.
The state's going to be throwing a lot of money around.
Well, because the state is us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I know. I'm just,
keep in mind earlier when Austin was saying the new plant is going to need 950 megawatts, that's more than the entire output of 9 Mile One. It's about,
yeah, 75%.
About 75% of the output capacity of all of 9 Mile Two. So that's your time. You're talking about a nuclear plant's worth of energy, that just that one facility.
And I'll say that, you know, nothing is obviously set, but I mean, Constellation has had talks with Micron to say, hey, listen, you know, we could provide, you know, we could, they need consistent 24/7 power. They don't need power during the day or power when the wind's blowing. They need power all the time.
Right. Correct.
So that could potentially be what saves those plants in terms of long term.
Yeah.
Say, hey,
a reality.
Well, to a user that needs that much power, right? It's not, you know, 300 miles away or 200 miles away in New York City, someone who's 30 miles away.
What do you think our taxes are going to be in the next 5, 10, 15 years with all this building, the state putting all this money into this Micron thing?
I don't know.
If I knew the answer to that, I would have had to win a Powerball ticket a couple weeks ago, and I wouldn't be here tonight.
But you do think our taxes are going to increase. This year, I think it's 8%, so, and that's nothing to do with Micron.
I mean, it's going to have to go up. You know, it's just, do we have enough people that are coming in that are going to have to share that?
We don't have anybody coming in, but at least for, what, 5 years?
You're going to have them coming in soon. I mean,
before that, because again, what the NRV group said is you'll see some of these influxes from the construction workers and the planning to get the project going. So there will be more people in the county that are going to be spending money, and if nothing else, that gets you more sales tax revenue. They may not be owners, like I said. Again, the MRV group at their presentation in March said some of the early signs that this is happening will be all your discretionary housing will be sucked up. All the hotels, all the motels, all the apartments, all those will be gone. And it's going to suck up capacity in the places where they have existing facilities for water and sewer. You will no longer have any excess capacity anywhere because the growth will suck that up first, and then we'll have the need for more, and it'll be up to us to try to meet that. But there will be more revenue, or should be, I would think, from this influx of the workforce. And Austin gave the numbers earlier on what some of those numbers were.
And I mentioned it earlier, so I hope it doesn't hurt the existing, the Hootamakis and the
that's
market, the whole, all the small ones.
Initially, it's going to because
it's going to be something
always
because the wage challenges and the wage and the benefit packages are going to be dramatically different.
Right. There's always like a glitch, and then it's like you got to power through that glitch, and that's the hard part. You know what I mean? And and I hopefully they hang in there where they just don't look at another, like, you know what? I hope that we're going to, there's an empty warehouse.
Something we're states over, and we're looking at that for sure.
There's also specific skill sets, right? So while many of our employers share some of those, that's not your whole workforce either. Right?
So it could be ours. Town of West Monroe, there's 6 guys. They know how to drive trucks. They know how to do construction work. They could all walk up and walk out. But, I mean, basically, I mean, I don't think they're going to, but.
Well, those are the challenges that everybody's going to have to go
that's
through.
Right.
Plus, I say, if Hootamaki and Novellus are worried about that, everybody under that should.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's just a change.
It's something, I would at least say we're not going to be caught with our pants down on it. We know about it, and if we can't help solve that problem, then shame on us because we knew about it.
For example, we've already started talking to the labor unions about how do we help them recruit. And one of their big challenges is in the apprenticeship program over the last decade, they've all centralized their operations. They don't have union halls all over the place anymore, training facilities. So for example, plumbers and steam fitters and many others, their training facilities are in Syracuse, right? So you got a guy, a young kid in Pulaski who wants to be a pipe fitter. He's got to work all day and then 2 days a week, in the nighttime, drive down to Syracuse and go through training for 5 years, you know, that gets tough, right? And a lot of them don't make it through the whole program. So how can we maybe decentralize those training places or change the way
they on the job?
Yeah.
Get rid of the class. The reason they had classrooms because there wasn't any jobs going on.
Well, you don't want to train a person to be a welder on the job and have that pipe fail, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a certain amount of training that you have to do offsite. But there's all people who might like to be in the trades, but they don't have transportation. So how do we get them either to work or how do we get them from home to the training places, right?
Because there is no bus system.
Yeah, well, there is, but it's not, I mean, because we're not an urban community, you can't have a bus stop on the corner of every county road, right? But another thing that we did.
We're not supposed to push that anyways. We're supposed to push someone, let them go to work, let them buy a car, let them drive themselves.
So we have a new position at the county. This person is called a mobility manager. It's 100% federally funded. And part of her job is to work with everyone, senior citizens, doctors, commercial enterprises, employers, unions. Where are the transportation problems? Who is challenged in their transportation needs? And how do we fix those for them in an efficient public way? So we're trying to figure some of that out as well.
Is it possible to get a copy of your slideshow so we can share it with people?
Can do that.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, good luck with all that. Good luck, Austin. You better get some fairy dust from somewhere.
Yeah, it sounds like we've got some work to do on our end too. It's not all on to
Yeah, it's something. And I think we need to be able to tell a better story, and it's going to be a challenge to get young people to stay, because there's no way we're going to, you know, if one out of every two young people is leaving, then that's, you know, somebody who could have worked there or the supply chain or any of the other stuff. So being able to tell the story that this is a place that you can stay, get a good job and raise a family here.
I think that's hard too, because people my age and younger, we're pushed to trades, not, you know, follow education necessarily, but trades. And we get out of that trade and all job requirements around here are bachelor's, mm-hmm. masters, you know. So that's a big thing too. It's like, oh yeah, go work in a trade and then get out of that, you know, start working in that millwrights union and make $25 an hour. You can't, I don't know, it's just constant cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kids, and I got two grandkids, both of them are out. They graduated from college, they're looking for jobs, and I'm telling you, they are from a different planet as it relates to lunch. Whether they're staying in New York State or leaving New York State or going to work here or going to work there, it's just really an odd thing that they go through. And I can't blame any of them for leaving New York State.
I got a grandson that graduated 2 days later, he's in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't buy ammunition in New York anymore. There's no reason for anybody to stay here.
Would you guys be able to communicate with Norcock? Can we have another one of these town hall type meetings with this group, maybe before the end of the year or early next year, with some other challenges and some other questions and answers other than just maybe infrastructure?
They're aware of what's coming
I have meetings with the people who want to have meetings. We can't be everywhere at once. You know, if there are, I would ask this, if you know businesses in your own communities that would want to know about this or that should know about this, put them in touch with us. I will say right now, like I said at the beginning of my thing, that I had a plan when I took it on October 3rd, and then October 4th happened, Micron announced, and I said, well, half the plan's out. And so there's still a lot of stuff we want to do right now that is not Micron related, but just Micron is,
yeah.
You guys have said, it's that all anyone wants to talk about is taking all the oxygen out of the room. But there's still a lot of other things that need to be done. So
just not enough time in the day to get to everybody. So if you know of anybody that should know, get it to us.
Yeah. Might be off subject a little bit, but earlier you mentioned Global in Albany. What happened to Global? Because it was the same story, right?
Pretty much, it was a much smaller scale. But still, it stopped,
or didn't it? Or it came, it didn't.
It's actually looking at getting back going again.
Okay.
To what they were doing. I mean, they built. They just didn't build the next phase that they were going to do. And a lot of it was.
So how big are they? That's a clean room type.
It's a semiconductor manufacturer. Yeah.
You
know, I mean, they're not anywhere near the size, but I mean, they're that's what they do. But yeah, it's
could we use that community for a comparison, then a multiplier?
Or are you familiar with it at all? Or
how familiar?
Yeah, I mean, and I would go through our representatives and contacts at New York State Economic Development Council. They're actually are out in Saratoga areas. They're very familiar with that. And some of the people there were involved in getting that project there. So they know a lot of it. It's a different scale. I mean, it's a different scale size project. But I think you would, was that 10 years ago or longer?
Longer?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was like middle 2000s, I think. I'd have to go back and look at it. It might have been like right before the financial meltdown, like 2008.
2008.
Might have been like 2007 to 10, somewhere in that range. I can't remember exactly when. But, you know, it's a smaller project, but it could be looked at to see how it affected
the
communities in New York State. So right. It's probably closest you're going to get to communities here. But, I mean, Ohio is getting a big Intel plant right now. Arizona, that's TSMC, that's a Taiwan semiconductor company. You know, that's the one that's trying to bring in people from out of the country right now. So I will say it's not Micron doing that. I'm not saying Micron's not going to do that, but if they find that they can't get the people they need. But
how would Arizona get the water?
Yeah, where are they getting
for this?
They have a huge issue out there right now, but they're doing
it.
Has anybody
looked into the details of the recycling? Somebody has, I know, but you guys might want to get some basic information because the recycling of water, they might recycle 50% of it, which means they need to add 50% every day. Mm-hmm. That 50% or whatever that number is that they're adding every day can't be 48 million gallons per day if they're recycling.
It's a water balance rip. So they hyper polish their water. So they'll send the cleaner stuff back to the plant, the head of their system. And it's reverse osmosis. So it's a membrane type of system. And then, so they're always backwashing and going through. It's a very complicated process, very expensive, very power intensive.
Yeah. But if they're recycling, they're reusing something.
Yep, but there's also water that they're using to backwash because you have to keep the membranes clear. So it's sort of like backwashing your pool or a pool filter and things like that. So there's a lot of wastewater that comes off of that, and then the super clean water that has to go to the manufacturing process is totally segregated and they have special tankage and piping and everything. There's a lot to it. And
so they do clean their own water. They have to.
For their own process. Yeah, they'll bring in the raw water, and then whatever comes off the end of it, they'll run it through in what they can polish. If it's too expensive for them to clean that, it goes on to Bogotá County for them to get it out.
Gotcha. I don't understand why you put a plant like that in Arizona. It's expensive water. They're extremely expensive water.
From Oswego down to Clay, $100 million.
Yep.
And who's going to pay for that?
Probably everybody in the Aqua. And then
everybody is in Aqua.
Yeah. Aqua will bond it, and then we'll pay it for the next 30 years.
There's a grant guy. He's got a lot of money.
And that'd be a big boom for us in the city of Oswego because when the contract ran out on the original 54-inch main, the city of Oswego lost a ton of money. Dave, you must remember that.
So, yeah.
So now there's an opportunity if they build another 54-inch main.
Maybe. Because they could. Their treatment plant is in the town of Oswego, and currently the line they have is fed off of an intake tunnel
that used to belong to the city of Oswego. The city had two tunnels next to each other out into the lake. And a mayor, I can't remember which one it was, he sold the rights to one of those tunnels to Aqua. And they paid off their obligation like 4 years ago. So they still have the rights to that tunnel. The city owns the other one, which they use because they have contracts with Town of Oswego and Town of Scriba and some others. But if Aqua was going to do another one, I think that they probably would build it in the Town of Oswego closer to where their treatment plant is.
Their treatment plant's got to be upgraded also.
Yeah.
Because it can't handle that.
Yeah.
I know that Metropolitan Water Board, they're part of Aqua now. They stated double the current capacity, but I'm not exactly sure if the infrastructure was there for that.
Yeah. So back to your question, another follow-up meeting. We have what I think is a good relationship with the commission, and I know that there's people like in Parrish and Mexico and Alaska who like to have some of the same conversations that you're looking forward to that aren't all focused on wastewater. so perhaps we can work with Katie and her team to do like a joint meeting of some of those towns as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look at the first December or January, and then some of these initial things might be done, so there might be more to report out on. Maybe some of these communities can get some things together to maybe more articulate what they need. And like you said, this is an opportunity to make your needs known and tag my grant onto it and hopefully get some money. I think that's really important. It's a two-way street here. You guys are doing stuff. Local communities need to do stuff, communicate what you're doing, and then see where it can go forward. So, right. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe even November, if we can work that out, mm-hmm. because things are going to be happening fast pretty soon. So, I mean, they're happening fast now, but they're going to really start ramping up. And also, that's right after the beginning of the new federal fiscal year, and we're getting close to the end of a lot of like the county fiscal year. So planning for budgets going into next year, you know, we might still have time to look at some of those other things.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
You good with that?
Yeah, sounds good.
I like making plans for Austin.
Okay, people always make plans for you.
Well, we really appreciate you making the trip out tonight.
Yeah.
It's the last thing I've got.
It's on the way home. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 15 minutes. So.
Right.
Yeah,
do we
use
our MRV person? She probably,
yeah. It would be a noted chat for Tracy when she'll sign off. But one thing I want to talk to you all about is we have a recording of this meeting, and I'd like to post it on the NORCOC website so that Bert can see it later and Tracy can look at the rest of it if she wants to, and anybody else who's interested. But I just want to make sure we're okay with everybody that posted that recording.
You didn't get my good stuff.
That's true.
We had one.
Blur me out. All
right. I'll leave a few cards with Rick. Anybody doesn't know how to get a hold of me?
Thank you.
Thank you guys. Thanks. Thank you guys for having
me. Yeah.
Very good.
See you again. Yeah. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Walmart's killing.